Last week I was talking about how when Jesus died and he rose from the grave, he was preparing his disciples to now take the message that he had been teaching them for the last several years out into the rest of the world. Not just what he had been teaching them, but what it meant that he died and rose from the grave and how that was good news for the rest of the world. He said to his disciples, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to take this message not just to people who are like you, not just to people in your region, but I want you to take it to every ethnicity, every language group, every color of person over the entire world. Because whether they know it or not, this message is for them. That there's a God out there that loves them. There's a God that wants to have a relationship with them. There's a God that died for them. And I said last week that that is why we are here today, is because for the last couple thousand years, Christians have taken that seriously, not just the first disciples, but the disciples of the disciples and so on and so on. And that's why we're still here today. And Jesus asks us to do that as well. But how do you do this? I don't know about you, but the average person sitting in the pew oftentimes feels very, very, if they feel that it's very difficult to be able to share their hope in Jesus with other people. If you're here today and you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian, that is okay. But our hope for people, for us that know Jesus, is that we want you to know Jesus. We believe that he is the hope of the world. And we want to be able to share it, but oftentimes we struggle to share it. Next week, my friend Brian's going to come, and he makes it seem so easy and so simple. Don't let him tell you that I said that. Don't tell him that I said that. But I know for the average Christian, they really do struggle with that. And last week, I talked to you about one simple aspect that you can begin with, and that is beginning with prayer. Beginning with prayer. I believe that every single Christian can begin with prayer. And prayer is powerful. God wants to answer our prayers. In fact, when we bring our prayers to God, he not just wants to answer our prayers, but he wants to answer the prayer of our heart and changing us at the same time. When we bring people to God in prayer, God can start working on their hearts, but he also starts working on our hearts as well. So Paul, in talking to Timothy, I read the scripture last week, but I want to read it again. He said this. He says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for who? Everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. God wants everyone to believe. Jesus wanted everyone to believe. Not just certain people, but God's heart is for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for the Buddhist. Jesus died for someone who's a Muslim. Jesus died for someone who's a Hindu. Jesus died for someone who's an atheist, even though they don't even believe that he exists. He died for them. In this scripture, Paul talks about us wanting Timothy to pray for people. Pray that God would help them. Pray that God would bless them, giving thanks for them. Paul uses the word saved in this scripture, because it is our faith in Jesus that saves us from death. The death we experience in the world, the destruction we experience in the world, and death in the afterlife as well. He's come to save us from death. He came to save us from our sin. Part of praying for people is loving them. When you start praying for people, God starts placing a love in your heart for them. And praying and love goes hand in hand. But you know what? There's another thing that's connected to prayer that I want to share with you today. And that is the act of listening to them. Listening to people. Praying for people requires love, and so does listening to them. If you're going to listen to somebody, it requires you to love on them. To start listening to people requires you to engage with people. And sometimes it's about asking questions. When you start to listen to people, sometimes you have to dig it out of them and start asking questions about their life. Good questions. And when you start asking questions of people, you have to stop and listen to them. Carl Menninger, he was a famous psychiatrist in the 20th century, and he says this: listening is a magnetic and strange thing, a creative force. The friends who listen to us are the ones we move toward. When we are listened to, it creates us, makes us unfold and expand. He says a lot of interesting things there. He says, when people listen to us, we tend to move towards them. I know about you, but when I encounter somebody that is interested in me, asks questions about me, and wants to listen to me, there's something that attracts me to them. There's something special about a friend who listens to you. And I believe that we live in a world today that's more about getting your message out. We want to force people to listen to us, whether it's on social media or whatever it is. It's about getting your message out. But we live in a world where there's so few people that are willing to listen, that are willing to understand. It's hard to be friends with a person who never wants to listen to you. Have you ever sat down with somebody, a friend of yours, maybe an associate, or whoever you meet on the street, and all they do is talk about themselves? They talk about their life. They talk about what they think. And you can never get a word in edgewise. And you typically don't really want to spend that much time with them, because it's all about them. I believe the people of God are called to be people who listen. James chapter 1, verse 19 says this: understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. This idea of quick to listen, what does that even mean? I think it means this idea of making it your first priority. When you connect with people, your first priority is to listen to them. Slow to speak. Understanding what they're saying. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and all you can think about is what you're going to say next? I know I do that. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to forget this that I'm going to say. And it's like, they're talking, and all you can think about is what you want to say next, and you totally miss what they're saying. But you smile and nod. Happens to me all the time. But James is speaking into this. I think this idea of listening is truly listening. Sometimes it's putting what you want to say on the back burner so you can truly understand where someone is coming from. Slow to anger. When we're having discussions with people who have a different worldview as us, different opinions as us, it's easy for those conversations to ramp up really quickly, for us to get angry, for the conversation to end up in an argument. James is encouraging the believers that he's writing to, man, listen to people. Don't take it so personally. Let other people have their opinion. Respect their opinion. Henry Nouwen said this. He says, to listen is very hard because it asks of us so much interior stability that we no longer need to prove ourselves by speeches, arguments, statements, or declarations. interior stability. That is that idea that, like, you don't have to prove yourself. You know who you are as a child of God. Do you know that you don't need to stand up for God? Do you know that he is strong in and of himself? You don't have to fully defend him. Sometimes we feel the need. We end up in arguments because we have to defend ourselves. We have to defend God. It requires an interior stability where we don't necessarily have to prove ourselves by getting all our words right. This is about having confidence in yourself and in God. When we listen and understand where people are coming from, we can hear their stories, we can hear their pains, we can hear their fears, and we can hear their doubts. Oftentimes, even in an argument, there's fears and there's doubts and there's pains that come out within people's hearts. And when we listen, truly, truly listen with our hearts, sometimes we can get down to the heart of the issue with someone because of that. And so when it comes to sharing our faith with other people, it begins with prayer. We need to listen to them. And the next one is this idea of eating with them. That's why we do lunches here at church. There's a guy by the name of Alan Warfelt who says this: food is symbolic of love when words are inadequate. This idea of this community care ministry is kind of connected to that, is that when people are going through painful situations in life, I know that sometimes you just don't know what words to say to people. But you show up on their doorstep with a meal or a basket of food or whatever it is, that communicates love to people, doesn't it? Another quote is this. It's from someone who's unknown, and it says this: every meal we share is a chance to knit our lives together one bite at a time. When you eat with people, something changes at times. And you get closer to people that you have meals together. We typically don't invite people out to eat with us that we don't like. We want to eat with people that we like. You know what? Jesus made an effort to eat with all sorts of people. People that the religious leaders at the time thought to themselves, Jesus, what are you doing? Why are you eating with those horrible people? Why are you eating with those sinners? In Luke chapter 7, it says this: the Son of Man, this is Jesus talking about himself. He says, the Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. People are upset with who he's eating with. But Jesus went out of his way to eat people. And when he did that, he placed value on their life and he showed them love. When we eat with people, when we sit across from the table with people, we hear, we listen to their story, we place value on their life. In another verse, it says this, Luke chapter 5 says, people are saying, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. Jesus went out of his way to eat with people that nobody else did because he saw value in their life. Everybody else saw them as scum, and Jesus saw that they had value, and he showed that value to them by eating with them. There are so many things that we can't do with people. I want to think of your different hobbies. There are people in this congregation, you're into camping, but not everybody's into camping. They can't camp with you. Some people, you're into hunting. That's kind of a solitary thing. People aren't going to hunt with you. Some people are into golfing. Some people are in this, that, whatever. But there's a common thing that we can all do together, and that is eating. Everybody eats. So you may not be able to connect with them on the golf course, on the tennis court, on a hike, or whatever your hobby is, but you can connect with them across the table and eat with them. So begin with prayer, listen to them, eat with them, serve them. Serve them. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, "Everybody can be great because anybody can serve. And you don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love." When you sit and listen to people, their needs become apparent to you. And when their needs become apparent to you, you find opportunities that you can serve them. Or maybe you find somebody that can serve them. You know, when we look out in the world today, we see needs everywhere. Do you guys sometimes feel overwhelmed by the needs out in the world? I do. Some of it has to do with the fact that we're so much more aware because of the news, because of the internet, because of everything. It's like we're thrown need after need after need. And it's so easy to shut out the needs of the world because it's so overwhelming. You just don't want to do anything about it because you can't meet all the needs of the world. Can I encourage you that you don't need to meet all the needs of the world? Last week, I talked about this idea of praying for people. Who are five people in your life that you could pray for? What if God was asking you to just find ways to serve those five people? Not your whole community, not your whole neighborhood, just those five people. You don't need to be overwhelmed by the needs of the world because you can't meet the needs of the world. But can you meet the needs of one person? Do you know that the God of the universe came down to earth and he didn't meet the needs of the whole world when he came and he ministered in physical flesh? He didn't. Jesus traveled in a very small area of Palestine. He spent most of his time in Galilee, a little bit of time around Jerusalem. And he only met the needs of people that he came in contact with. I want you to imagine the needs of the entire world 2,000 years ago. Jesus could have traveled all over the world, and he didn't. There are people that had needs, I'm sure, even in the region of Galilee that he traveled in, whose needs were not met. Because Jesus as a human being was limited. The Holy Spirit, God our Father, in the Spirit is not limited anymore. He wants to meet the needs of the whole world. But Jesus understood his limitations as a human being. In fact, he understood his limitations so much that he took regular time to go and rest. Jesus didn't operate 24/7. He could have. He could have been like, man, the needs are so great, I'm not even going to sleep. I'm going to rely on my Heavenly Father to give me all the energy that I need to just go 24/7 full out. But in the midst of him meeting people's needs, he went and he rested. And he prayed and he spent time with his Heavenly Father. And when we look at Jesus, we can use that as an example for our own lives and understand our limitations. Understand our need for rest and that we can't meet the needs of the whole world. But can we meet the needs of the few that God has placed in our lives, that God has placed in front of us? So begin with prayer. Serve people. Listen to them. Eat with them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve one another well." What is your gift? How is it that God has gifted you? Because it's not just for you. God has given you resources and gifts to serve other people. And we live in a world where that's hard because we ask the question, what is in it for me? We're always asking the question, what is in it for me? You know, Jesus was different. He asked the question, what is in it for you? When Jesus came and he served in the flesh, his constant question and why he served is, what is in it for you? And he calls us to the same. I want to share with you one last thing when it comes to sharing the good news of Jesus, and that is actually share Jesus. Do you notice on this list that it's last? Oftentimes as Christians, we feel that it has to be the first thing. Now, this isn't in order. In a real-world scenario, this could all be mixed up in a bunch of different ways. But sometimes, it needs to be the very last thing that we do. Sometimes it is beginning with prayer. It's listening to people. It's eating them. It's serving them. And as you've done that, they've experienced the love of Jesus. And their hearts weren't open. And then they experience the love of Jesus, and then they're saying, now I want to listen. And you know, when people's hearts are soft and ready to listen, man, it's such a joy to be able to share the message of Jesus with people. It's fantastic. Now, sometimes it's not like this. Sometimes it's like the Spirit of God is doing stuff in people's lives, and there's been other people that have been sowing into them. There's been other people praying for them, listening to them, eating with them, serving with them, and you bump into people and they're like ready to hear. And you get like the blessing of just being able to tell people about Jesus. Some other people have been doing the work. And you get to reap the harvest. Sometimes it's in the middle. There's no specific order. But if we have a heart for our world, if we have a heart for people to know the amazing Jesus that we serve, all these things that you see on there fit together and need to be part of it. Sharing the story of Jesus is the most amazing thing. You know, people ask me about my job, and I had someone walk into my office a couple weeks ago and said, man, are you ever just absolutely just tired of what you do and just kind of aggravated and da-da-da-da-da asking me? And I was like, yeah, actually, there are parts of my job that are not fun. There are days that I do not enjoy. There are things that I do not enjoy. But I can say one thing is for certain, is that when I get an opportunity, and I get it almost every Sunday, to be able to talk about the greatest person that ever lived, that changes our lives, that never gets old. That never gets old. And you know, there's a lot of things in life that I enjoy doing. But when you get an opportunity to share the life-changing message of Jesus with people who are hungry and want to hear, man, that just like fills the cup greater than anything. Like, what fills your cup? I enjoy doing different things. I like going on hikes. I like golfing. I like surfing. I like doing all sorts of stuff. But the thing that fills my cup the greatest is talking about Jesus. And people need to hear about him.